this past week, Michelle and I and the family did a good bit of traveling over the holidays. We ended up leaving last week on Friday. I had that surprise wedding, which actually went well. I was very nervous over that, meeting at a restaurant with nobody in the restaurant, not even the waiters and waitresses knew what was going on. So it was a little nerve-wracking to do that, but it went off without a hitch. We got them married. Nobody got mad at me. Nobody got mad at the couple, so we got them married, so that was sort of cool. And then we left on our little bit of mini Christmas vacation. Well, whenever you head out on a trip, especially if you're going far or somewhere that you've never gone before, out comes all the maps. And so you start looking, you know, how do we get from here to there? And we'll put up a map here. I got a map of the United States. It's sort of fascinating when you look. That's just the interstate highway system by and large. And the map looks like arteries running all across the United States, and in a very real way they are, because those arteries are taking products and people from New York out to California and all over the place. And it literally, these major highways and minor highways bring life into all of those communities and cities that we can travel about and see in the country. Now, if we were to zero in on this map, you can start to see the state highway system. So here's just a map of Ohio here in just a second. It all of a sudden starts getting even more looking like a spider web all over the place, going to all the little towns. So not just the big metropolitan areas, but the little towns as well. And we can zero in just on the Cleveland area. Most of you have probably seen this before. And if you look close, you can sort of spot where Valley City is and where we're standing or where we're sitting up there on the map as well. You see, whenever you look at a map, whenever you start to take a trip, you have point A and you have point B. Let's go back to the U.S. map for a second, if we can. If you want to go from where we're at to, say, let's go San Francisco, you can see that way out there. Point A is where we are. Point B may be San Francisco. There are hundreds and hundreds of ways that you can go from here to there. And the way that you go from point A to point B greatly depends upon your goals for the trip. So you type it in Google Maps and you'll discover the quickest route, the longest route, the most obstacles, or if you want to see something in particular. If you're a guy and you're in a race, how many of you guys go on a race even though there is no race at hand, but you're just getting to your relative's house with no time to be there? Anybody else turn every trip into a race? We got to get there, you know? Why, honey? Because we do. I don't know why, but we do, you know? So as a guy, you might type in Google Maps and you'll be like, okay, the shortest route from A to B is this. But then as you start going down the road, Google Maps may say, rerouting, that's not the best way. That may be the shortest way, because in our racing minds, we're thinking the shortest, the least miles got to be the quickest, and so that's the way we're going to go. But sometimes 20 miles out of the way may actually be quicker because of a detour, because of road construction or an accident or something like that. And so you go that way. But if your goal on the trip is to do some sightseeing, so we're going to go from Cleveland out to San Francisco, but we're just on vacation. We want to see some things along the way. We want to see, you know, Mount Rushmore. Maybe we want to go in down into or up into the mountains of Missouri. You may end up going way out of the way. You may go a totally different direction than just straight there. Or maybe there's some relatives in Chicago. Or maybe Wisconsin. Let's go up to Madison, Wisconsin, because there's relatives up there. You may choose a different way to go, or maybe the relatives are down in Louisiana, so you're going to go down and out instead. So from point A to point B, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of ways to choose to go to get from here to there. Well, I want to take a little side road from that trip for just a second. We just celebrated the ushering in this last Monday night and Tuesday of a new year. We're now standing at the starting line of 2019, and I'm sure that many of you have thought about this, but what do you hope to see happen in your life during 2019? As you've been looking forward, as you've been looking to this year, what do you hope is going to happen this year? What's something you hope to accomplish? Something you hope that can be done, maybe in your house, maybe a remodel project, I don't know. What's something? You probably thought about that just for fun this morning. How about two or three people share? Because I bet a lot of you have already thought about it. Two or three people share. What do you hope to see happen in 2019? Bob.
Love one another.
Okay, they will love one another. Tim. He plans on getting married to somebody I'm related to. Somebody else, what's some things you hope to have happen in 2019? Two more people. Bray.
To have a closer spiritual walk.
Okay, closer spiritual walk. Anyone else? Okay, two more.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy? That was yours too. Okay, stay healthy. You know, just for myself, you know, as I'm looking at this, we do this for the church, by the way. You know, we hope that our ark that got built last fall will be used more and more, become maybe a center for kids around our town. You know, as I look forward to the new year as the pastor of the church, I hope we can add 5 to 10 new families to our church. Wouldn't that be awesome to add some new folks and some new faces into our fellowship and into our family called LifeSpring? We've been working on this, and this is where we're heading. I hope we can solidly mentor 10 people this next year to help them grow in their faith, to really go deep with God. So it'd be cool. We call that discipleship in the church or mentoring. But we'd love to see 10 people do that during church. So even as a church, we look forward to the new year. We set our goals. We set our plans. We think about what might happen. Personally, I'm going to hit that big, wonderful marker called 5, followed by this number called 0. And so as I hit that, you know, I hope to do that gracefully with a little bit more wisdom. So, you know, I have some goals for my own life as well. So how do we face the future? Well, just like taking a trip, we make plans. We look to the future. We take our best shot. We take our best guess. We launch ahead, hoping that all things will turn out good, hoping that as we stand at the end of 2019 and we look back, we'll be able to say it was a good year. It was a good year. I did what I set out to do. I accomplished what I believe God wanted me to accomplish. Life is good, and I'm good, and things are good. But here comes the problem. In every trip that we take, unforeseen things begin to pop up that we just couldn't predict, right? Those things pop up in our lives. We didn't see that coming. 3 weeks ago, I decided that I was going to steal Michelle away, and we're going to take a little Christmas break. And so I had training with our incoming Hispanic pastors with our Hispanic church down in Columbus on Friday night. So I took Michelle. We went to that training. I got us a nice hotel that we stayed in. So we spent the night at a hotel. And then I was going to take her to the wild light show at the Columbus Zoo because I heard it's really cool. So I got tickets for that. So we go down. We do the training. We spend the night in the hotel. We get up the next morning, and it is pouring. I mean, it's not just dribbles. It's like pouring down rain. It was a gloomy, nasty day. I looked at Michelle. We're still going to head to the zoo because I have my plans, you know, so we're going to do this. We get in the car. We drive because she needed to run to a store to get something. And as I'm sitting there in the car, it's just pouring on the car. She gets back in the car and said, honey, what if we just skip the zoo? Because I'm looking at the weather. It's not going to get any better as the day goes along. And she's like, I'm so glad you decided that. I already had the tickets, though, but we forfeited the zoo. I didn't foresee that coming. So I already had the tickets. The day after Christmas, then, I decided, you know what? Let's just zip down to the zoo. So December 26th. So we packed Erica up. She decided she'd like to go, and she had the time to go. So we packed her up in the car. We got up early in the morning, and off we go with another plan. We're going to get the zoo done today. Beautiful day. I don't know if it was a warm day. It was the perfect day to go to the zoo. And so we start heading down. It's about an hour and 45 minutes trips to Powell, Ohio, which is where the zoo is. And so it's an hour and 45 minutes, and all of a sudden, we get south of Medina, and it's backed up traffic. Grand, you know. How many of you guys love that? Mm-hmm. We finally get through the backup. I don't even know what happened on that one. There was no accident. Everybody just decided to, hey, let's look at that barn or something. And just everything was slowed down for about a half hour. So we get through that. We're driving on down, and we get down to the exit before Polaris, where that big new outlet center is. And again, traffic stops. This time it was an accident. And it was an accident on that side of the road. But, of course, this side all has to look, you know. So here we are. So this trip that I had planned now to just zip down to the zoo, enjoy the zoo for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 hours, then watch the lights come on and do all that. Now, all of a sudden, this trip's turned into a 3-hour trip just to get there. It's now about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, man, my plans of my replans are all now foiled. And finally, we get down there. Finally, we do enjoy the zoo. I'm thinking, man, if it took us this long to get down here, it's going to take us a lot longer to get home. Luckily, it didn't. So even when we make plans, even when we think we have it all figured out, things come up that just mess up those plans. Let me ask you a question. Again, just a couple days ago, we stood at the end of 2018. As you look back over your 2018, how many of you had this happen? Your plans for 2018 did not turn out the way you thought they would. Just a couple of us. So all of you had your plans turn out that have your hands down. Wow. Let's try that again. How many of you had all your plans turn out? Well, let me rephrase that. Let me put it back in the way. How many of you did not have all of your plans turn out exactly the way you thought they would? Pretty much all of us. If you're older than 20, you probably understand the truth that things just don't go the way that we expect them to go as we make our plans. So let me ask this question again. Or another question, like the one I did earlier. How would anybody here like to share one or two things that didn't turn out the way you thought they should?
A month before our wedding, we found out we had to change the
venue. Oh
my gosh.
Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that on Facebook Live? Tim, did you hear that?
You were way when I found out about it.
Yeah, oh my God. That's a big one. Somebody else. A plan that you wouldn't mind sharing that just didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Something you didn't foresee.
Maybe when I was going to make my plan to pull into a Christmas tree. So I had the lights off, but I can't walk very well, so I got my golf cart and headed over to the flag and something to that. Now I've got runs about 15 feet long.
And the Christmas tree didn't get up, right? One day out of 360 some. Somebody else wants to share a plan that you just didn't turn out the way you thought it would.
My nice elaborate Christmas got a little messed up because I ended up in the hospital for 4 days, and I ended up having a Christmas that got done in 1 hour of shopping.
Ooh, was that a good thing then?
It was very relaxed and laid back and peaceful.
Okay. Okay, anybody else? Oh, Tim?
So this Christmas, I purchased all my Christmas gifts and found out that my dad currently has two weddings since he had them in November, so we got them from purchase.
Oh, wow.
I'm running out of tips, so I have to think about it.
Ouch. Oh, we all suffer this, don't we? We make our plans, we have our hopes and our desires, but they don't turn out well. Better way. Very good. Let me share it because the church does this as well, and I go through this. I sort of expected Erica, something to happen with Erica and Tim, but the dates got set and all that for their wedding. Didn't expect my daughter to move back in with me for a couple months, then she moves out, then my son moves back in with me, so that didn't see that happening. At the start of the year, for the church, on the church side, at the start of the year, I don't think any of us predicted that we'd have an ark sitting out here. Do you realize that? That just happened last spring, and that all the money came in for that. This last year, at the start of 2018, I did not foresee the Maynards being with us, the Antons, with other new people being with us in worship. Didn't see that happening, and yet here those folks are. I don't think any of us saw that Pastor Brian and the Downies would both take jobs, ministry roles in other churches, you know, either this last year. At 2018, we didn't see that. And yet those things happen. So even for us as a church, there are things that happen during the year that we just could never have predicted at the start of the year. We might have had some inklings, we might have had some ideas those things might happen, but so many things we just couldn't have predicted. So as we look at our lives and where we're going, just like a road trip, there are thousands upon thousands of choices, thousands upon thousands of options that lie ahead of us. And while we take our best guess, no one knows for sure how it will really turn out. Isn't that good news this morning? Last fall, we began walking through the book of Acts. I've gotten a lot of requests that we should go back to the book of Acts and continue to walk through that. I will be honest with you, it was not my intention at this point to go back to Acts, because I had started to lay out the sermon series for this winter month, months, January and February, God's Map app, and talking about the future and planning and things like that. So I wasn't planning to go back to Acts, but as I put today's sermon together and was working on it, God led me back to Acts chapter 7. Now, if you remember, we left off in Acts chapter 6. So this was sort of fascinating when I started reading, just out of curiosity, I started reading through Acts chapter 7, and lo and behold, this is where God is just so cool. What God had in Acts chapter 7 lined up perfectly with what he was putting in my heart to be speaking on, and the two still came together. So let me just bring you up to speed a little bit here on what's happened in the book of Acts. Jesus departed the earth. He gave his mission to what he began to formally call the church. The mission was simple. Take the message of love, take my message of love, forgiveness, and obedience to the rest of the world. Jesus said, go make disciples, teaching the world to obey everything that I've taught you. So the mission was rather simple. In other words, spread the gospel message, help people grow in their faith. We call it discipleship in the church. So evangelism, discipleship within the church. The disciples then got together. So Jesus left. They sort of freaked out a little bit. What do we do now? They got together, started to pray together. God anointed them with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. They went out and started to speak in what we call tongues in different languages where everybody could hear. And when everybody heard that and saw that, thousands of people came to know Jesus that day, and the church was officially born. So now we have this entity with thousands of people and some leaders, and it's called the church. It was launched now. The disciples then get back together and begin to pray about how this church should function and how things should go, and they begin to meet together and they begin to share together. Peter goes up to the temple to worship because they didn't leave their Jewish roots, so he went back to the temple to worship. On his way to the temple, he meets a blind man. He actually heals the blind man. This causes all sorts of hoopla inside the temple because the blind man wasn't supposed to be in the temple, but now here he is in the temple, all whole, and everybody's like, wait a minute, we just saw that guy begging, what happened? And Peter said, I know what happened. And so then Peter preaches to all the people in the temple, and guess what happens? Thousands more come to know Jesus Christ, believe in his gospel message, believe in Jesus' message. The disciples go back. Again, they're praying. This community is growing. They're all growing in fellowship and friendship, and they're becoming family, sort of, if you will. They're sharing everything in common. And then two people decide to buck the authority of the church, called Ananias and Sapphira. They lie about their commitment to the church, and God strikes them down dead. It sends fear then through the whole church, because God takes seriously his authority that he's placed in the church. And then we move on. The church, again, still grows, even through that. And then some people in the church, it's so wonderful to know that modern church is not the only church that has conflicts in the church. Amen? It's wonderful to know that 2,000 years ago at the start of this thing, they even had conflicts. And so a group of people came complaining about another group of people in the church. The disciples got together and figured out, we've got to decide how to solve ministry issues in the church. And so as Jim Collins wrote in his book just a few years ago, he said, you got to get the right people on the bus, the wrong people off the bus, and the right people in the right seats on the bus. And that's what the disciples did. They decided, we got to figure out what is our job as pastors, if you will, and what is the congregation's job as ministers, if you will. And so they start to divide these ministry roles so that everybody in the church can be taken care of. That's chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, one of those ministry leaders, not a pastor, so it'd be one of you folk, begins to do some really cool ministry. So much so that the Jewish leaders start to take notice of it. They don't like what he's doing, and so they put him in custody, and his name is Stephen. This is now Acts chapter 7, so we're up to speed. So this group called the Sanhedrin has Stephen in custody. They're asking him questions about his faith, what he's doing, why did he do what he do, why did he do what he did. And now Stephen gives this response. So this is his rebuttal, if you will. This is his explanation before the courts. Acts chapter 7, if you have your Bible, I'm starting right with verse 1. Then the high priest asked him, are these charges true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land that I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no children. God spoke to him this way, "Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves," God said, "and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place." Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. As I was reading that, so I've had the plans coming together for the sermon. As I read that, I was like, okay, this is too cool. This is sort of amazing. Because here's what's happening. Stephen's given this speech before the Sanhedrin. He's telling them what they already know. They know all about Abraham. They're good Jewish guys, and Stephen's a good Jewish guy. He grew up in the Jewish school system, so he understands their history as well. And he reminds them that God called this man Abraham, who had all of his plans for his life before him set, and God said, "Abraham, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this." And Abraham had a choice to make. Do I do that or do I do this? Now, to Abraham's credit, Abraham said, "Okay, God, I will do what you want me to do." And so he makes a choice to follow God and his plans, to the point that Abraham doesn't even know where God is going to take him. He doesn't know anything about Israel or anything about this wonderful land down here. He just knows God's called him to go somewhere, and he says, "I'll follow." And then Stephen goes, piles it on even deeper. He said, "Not even that, but when you choose to go God's way," and Abraham started to go God's way, God even told him, "It's still not going to work out the way you think it should. Because as you go down this road, your family," which I'm going to give you a kid, and Abraham's like, "I don't have any kids." "Well, I'm going to take care of that. But even for your kids, it's not going to turn out so good. They're going to end up in slavery. They're going to be misused and abused. It's not going to turn out, the road is not going to turn out the way you think it should turn out." And yet, Abraham followed. I found that incredibly powerful. As we look to our futures, we all have our ideas of how it should go. We all have our dreams and our desires, just like Abraham, of how this year should work. We make our plans, we put things in place to assure things will go as planned, and I trust that most of you have done that with good Christian intent, wanting to bring glory to God and have Christian integrity, wanting to honor God in all your plans of what you're putting together. So off to the future we go. But then the twists and the turns begin to happen. Things don't turn out the way we thought they would. Bumps come up that we just couldn't see, roadblocks that we just couldn't predict. Things that we just weren't prepared for or weren't expecting. And as these twists and turns come, do we hang on to God and trust that He is still working things out for us? Or, and this is a huge or, do we believe that we are in charge and we are working things out for God? That's a huge or to figure out in our hearts and our minds. Is God working things out for us, or are we under the assumption that we are trying to work things out for God? Big difference in perspective there. You see, if things don't work out and we're under this side, if we're under God is working His plans out and things don't work out the way we expected, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm still going to follow along. We'll see where this goes. But if we think we are in charge and that we're in control of everything and things don't work out, who failed, God or us then? We did. Things didn't work out because I didn't plan hard enough. Things didn't work out because somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. It's their fault. So we start the blame game. You know, when we're over here thinking that we're in charge of the future and all these plans, when those plans don't work, then we start to beat ourselves up or beat others up because we have failed. All this is leading us down to two proverbs that I think would be wise for us to memorize. These two proverbs are actually going to guide us over the next couple of weeks, so it's worth us spending a minute to try and memorize these a little bit this morning. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You all got it memorized, right? Okay, let's try it. Proverbs 14, 12. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Now can you do it with your eyes closed? Let's try it again. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You got it yet? Okay, let's all say it nice, loud, and bold, but close your eyes so you're not looking at the screen. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I like this proverb because it speaks to the reality that we all live. We go about our days, we make our plans, we plan this wedding, we plan to attend this graduation party, we plan to have this surgery, or we hope to get this construction project done or this remodel project done in our house. We plan, we plan, we plan. And it all seems right to us. The plans that we're doing are good plans, they're viable plans. They seem to be in place and going well. But Proverbs says we can plan as best as we can, but in the end, it still will result in death. Some things might work out, but other things just won't, because this world is destined to destruction, Proverbs also tells us. And on top of that, eventually every plan that we will make will die, because we will die. My banker brother-in-law deals with a lot of young professionals coming into the work world. I had spent a good bit of time with him this last week, and we got in this conversation. I don't even know why, but somehow we got into this. He goes, I love to sit down with these young people coming into the banking profession right out of college. And he goes, I sit them down and I tell them, I want to tell you a truth that is 100% true of all of humanity of all time. Of every person everywhere. Every bank has to deal with it. Every business has to deal with it. Every government has to deal with it. And he said they'll sit up on their seat and like, oh, wow, this is, you know, the professional old banker investing in young upstart. You know, I'm ready to hear this. And he said they sit there and they're ready with pen and paper, ready to hear this huge truth. And he said, I love to watch the expression on our faith when I sit with their face when I tell them, here's the 100% absolute truth. Everyone dies. Huh? And he said, you see their face drop, their eyes drop, their mouth open. He goes, it's true. Nobody gets off the earth alive. We all die. That's what this proverb's telling us. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Here's the truth. We all will die. Sooner or later, fatality, human fatality is 100%. Do you realize that? Nobody gets off the earth alive. We all will die. Okay, that proverb's a little negative. Right? Bummer. Right. Way to start the year, okay? But that reality might tend to get our attention. Hopefully, it will keep your focus correct, that while we think we are in charge, that we're large and in charge, and that we're in control, 100% of all human lives end in fatality. We are just not in control as we think we are. So let me take you to a more positive proverb that we're going to be dwelling on for the next couple of weeks. And I'd like us to memorize this proverb as well. So here we go. We're going to put it up here. Look at it quick. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We're all going to memorize this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him. That's a little different than the old NIV. And he will make your paths straight. Okay, look at it. Get it in your head. We're going to close our eyes in just a second here. Look at it, look at it. Okay, Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. All right, let's say it together. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Ready to do it with your eyes closed? Here we go. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, there's more to follow this verse, by the way, and we're going to be looking at those verses in the next couple of weeks, which is some powerful stuff as well, really good ideas, wonderful proverbs. But I want to break this verse down just a little bit. I want us to take a look at this. So if we are not large and in charge, if we really cannot comprehend the roadmap of life that lies before us, then what hope is there for us? Well, here it is in this verse. The writer first tells us where to put our trust. Not in ourselves, but in God. Not in President Trump or Obama or the Bushes or Reaganomics. Okay, so let's get them all in there. We don't put our trust in the banks. We don't put our trust in the economy or in the stocks, which the liberals are freaking out over because the stocks are all crashing this last week. We don't put our trust in resources, our jobs, our bank accounts, our retirement plans. We don't put our trust in our families, our friends, or even churches or pastors. We don't even put trust in our own abilities. We are to put our trust in God. Put our trust in God. And Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, said, put your trust in the Lord and lean not onto your own understanding. God has given us great minds with great abilities to think, and I believe he expects us to use our minds, our logic, and our abilities, and I believe God expects us to plan well. And while we need to make good plans, we can put all of our trust in those plans because we shouldn't put our trust in all those plans because they may not work out the way we think they should. Doesn't mean we shouldn't plan, but we shouldn't put all of our trust in those plans because if those plans don't work out, we're crushed. What do we do now? Life is over. It's not working the way we thought it should work. Shucks, if you're 20 years old or young, older, 20 years of age or older, you know your plans will not always work out the way you think they would. Because most of you thought you're going to marry your 14-year-old sweetheart, right? And you didn't. Plans we make don't work out all the time. Things never work out as we plan totally, even the simple things. I think that's the ones that bug me. Yesterday, I had the plan to get to the church in a reasonable time because I had some work. I just got back from vacation, needed to catch some things up here at the church. I was going to get out here plenty early. I go out to my car, and I had gotten plates because the temp plates I had on my car had expired, so I was already driving with expired temp plates, and I thought, oh, I got to put these plates on. So now it's going to take me an extra 5 minutes to get those plates on, so I'm going to get to the church a little bit later than I thought. So I go and get a Phillips screwdriver, unscrew the back plates, I put these little stickers on. By the way, the stickers, they don't tell you where to put the stickers anymore. So I was like, this is going this side, that side. Well, I figured I just picked and went. I put the plate on. I go to the front of the car to put the front plate on. No screws. Somebody had taken the screws out of the front screw, the plate thingy to hold the plates. So then I'm like, grand. Now I'm going to have to rechange my plans to go to O'Reilly's to get plate screws so that I can put the front plate on so I can drive to the church. And now I'm already 10 minutes late of what I wanted to be out to the church. So I go to O'Reilly's and I go in and I ask the guy where to find the bolts for the plates. And he says, they're over there. And he walks and follows me and we look. And he's like, those are weird bolts. And those are weird screws. And we're looking through the whole rack. He goes, oh, here they are. But it's a $10 license plate special pack. And you have to buy the whole 10 bucks to get two screws. I'm like, seriously? And he's like, yeah, that's pretty expensive. I'd go to Home Depot because I know they have them there. Okay. So I get back in my car. And I didn't even put the one screw back in. I just left the plate dangling with one screw. I go over to Home Depot. I get into Home Depot. I finally, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of screws. And you know what? How many of you guys, or maybe even some of you ladies, they have the little thing to test the threads and make sure it's metric or to make sure it's standard thread, blah, 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 blah. I put it in all of them, and none of them, it was tight. It just, I'm like, so which one is it? It does, none of them fit right. So I finally just chose these. I go back out. I put them in. Luckily, they worked. And a half hour later, I finally get to the church. Anybody identify? Even the simple plans in our lives don't work the way we thought they would. I thought I was going to replace my in-law's floor in one day. Bathroom, tiny bathroom, small kitchen in one day. Yep, 2 days and about 20 plus hours later, with sore hands, we got her done. Trust in the Lord, lean not into your own understanding. We make our plans, but they just don't work all the time. Some of them do, a lot of them don't. At least they don't work out exactly the way we think they should. And so Solomon had the wisdom to remind us that we're to lean back in God's plans, to lean back in His ways. The second thing that the writer suggests, and Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, suggests, is that we acknowledge God in all of our ways. And I like the way the NIV translates it, because that's the way I learned it. Acknowledge God in all of your ways. But the NIV does, actually the new NIV does a little better job of translating it. It says, submit all of your ways to Him. We're going to go about our futures. We're going to look at the roadmaps and of where our tomorrows may take us. We will make our plans. Shucks, we as a church will make our plans. As a church, our purpose is to lead people to Jesus Christ and help them grow in their faith. That's it. It's that simple. That's our goal, is we want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to raise up this next year more mentors so we can mentor more people to help them grow in their faith so we can raise more mentors. We want to find better ways to connect into our community so we can have more and more opportunities to share Jesus with more people so they can come to know Him and know the joy that we have. In fact, if you are interested in helping us with those plans, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we have a visionary meeting. We spend 1 hour just talking about what we hope to accomplish as we move to the future, why we're accomplishing it, and how we're going to accomplish it. And if you can joyfully commit to the future of our church, we welcome you into that discussion because we want to get as many people as we can their input into this discussion. So we make our plans, even as a church. We hope to see something cool happen in the future. We make plans of where we hope everything will go. But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, are we going to hold on to our plans or submit to God's plans, even though His plans may not be what we projected? They may not even look the way we thought they should look. I tell you what, last year, I couldn't see where God was going to take us. And if I had my choice and I could see, I would have said no. But God did His work. And He changed our plans in His church. And right now at the end of the year, I can look back and say, wow, God, we would not be as healthy or where we're at now if You hadn't done what You did with us from here to there. I wouldn't have chose that. But God said, this is what needs to happen, and He took us there. And so we make our plans, but are we going to hold on to those plans? Or are we going to say, God, I'm going to do the best I can, but when You move and when You change, I'm going to be okay with that. I'm going to move with Your plans. Well, I tell you what, just being honest with you this morning, I don't necessarily want to hear that right now in my life. Because I like my plans. Anybody else? I like my plans. I tend to be a little bit of a control freak, but I think all of us are at some point or another. We like our plans. We don't want them messed up. We don't want to take detours along the way. I could have never projected or predicted in my plans. I did not have in my plans that my dad would die last year. I didn't have that in my plans. It wasn't on my calendar. Dad dies. Funeral. Not in my plans. That's something I would have chose. And yet, God shifts our plans. Why? I don't always understand or know. But He does. And we can go there gripping our nails on the wall saying no. We can be mad and angry about it. Or we can say, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand why You're doing what You're doing. But I'm going to hang on to see where this is going to go. Because I trust You and I know this is heading somewhere. So will I submit to God's plans? Even though, like Abraham, God, I submit, I commit myself to You. And God even says, it's not going to go the way you think it should. And Abraham says, okay, I'm all right with that. I will still go Your way. That's what Stephen reminds us of in Acts chapter 7. Will I go God's way? Will I trust in His plans? Will I submit to Him? In all your ways, submit to Him. Now, here's some really, really good news. Let's look at the last piece of this verse. When I get to a place that I'm okay with God's plan, Solomon gives us a final snippet that should bring us some great comfort and encouragement, and this is some really good news. God will make our plans straight. He will make our paths straight. He doesn't commit to making them easy, by the way. He doesn't say that it won't be uphill at times and downhill at other times. He doesn't say that those straight plans won't take us through some really tough things or some valleys, but he will make them straight. He'll make them obvious. Straight also leads us in a direction of going somewhere. And rather than going my somewhere, it leads us in the direction of going God's somewhere. God's roads will always lead us somewhere. And as Stephen reminded the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, God promised to Abraham, even though your family's plans won't go as you think they should, even though you'll end up in captivity, you'll end up enslaved, you'll end up mistreated as a family, as a nation, I will use those things to bring glory to myself and bring you to the land that I promised. It will go for your good eventually. Do we trust that? Do we lean into that? For me, this is huge comfort. I need to plan. I need to prepare for where I believe God is taking me, where God is taking us as a church. But I have to submit those plans to God. I have to lean into His lordship and His guidance, even though at the moment it may not seem like it's good. But at the end of the day, or better yet, at the end of 2019, as I look back over the year, will I be able to see the road God took me on and see the twists and turns and realize that this is good? Will we hopefully be able to see something good come out of all those, what we think are our U-turns or side roads on our trip? Well, you see, all those side roads are really God's way of working plans out for us. I'm a visual person, and when I see things, it just helps me. Let me just visualize this for a minute. Let's say this is you. You, okay? This is where you hope to go. And so let's say this is 20 January, so 1 of 2019, all right, right here. And so you want to go, that was bad, here. There, we'll just make it bigger, all right? This is your plan. This is the end of 2019. And so you're road mapping, and a lot of us are doing this. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to start attending church. Whatever, right? We make our plans. And as we go along this road, so this is our road map, okay, that we're hoping to take right here, you know, this nice straight path to our plans. As we go along this road, all of a sudden, we're going along and bloop, this happens. Right? And what do? No, that's off track, that's off plan. Back on plan. And we go along and then all of a sudden, whoop, this happens. Pulls us back off plan. And we pull back onto the plan. Wait. That's not on plan. I got to get back on plan. You know, so we pull back to this. And we go along. Everything's going fine. All of a sudden, something else comes along. Boop, pulls us way over here. And we're like, that's not what I expected to happen. And it pulls us back. And we try to get back on plan. And this keeps happening all year long. And then we read some dumb verse that says, God's going to make all my plans straight. Where is that happening in my life? Right? Let me give you a what if. What if God's plan is here for me? And what if every time this happens, God's pulling me to whose plan? And every time I buck it and try to come back to my plan, what does God do? Pulls me back to His plan. What song or what proverb Solomon promise us? Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in all your ways. Trust in God. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your plan straight. What if I started to get my heart so in line with God that my plans started to reflect more and more God's plans? What then happens to my path? Solomon promises, when we submit to God in His ways, even though we make our plans. And I think God expects us, even along this road, to make our plans. When my plans more and more and more and more start to match God's plans, all of a sudden my plans start to get straighter. My path starts to get straighter. My life starts to make more sense. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's go back to our roadmap that I showed you at the start of the sermon. So, Ken, if you could bring that back up, that big U.S. roadmap. We're all going somewhere. We're launching into 2019. We all have some ideas of where we hope this year will take us. We may all want to go from here to there, but as we look at this roadmap, we have to realize there are literally hundreds of ways to get from here to there. Even looking at the interstate highway system, hundreds of ways to get across our country. Depending upon your goals and your desires for the trip, depends on how you might make this trip, what you're going to see, what things you're going to experience, how fast or how long the trip will come or go. You'll type your trip into Google Maps, and Google Maps will show you the quickest way as to get there, the best way, the least or most congested way. Google Maps these days, you can even type in Google Maps and say, I want to go to this restaurant four times on my way from here to California. And it will map all that out. So you go to all those restaurants, or I want to go to this restaurant, and it'll map that if you want to go to this family or this friend or see this particular thing. And it will guide you all along the way. Now, this is what's so fascinating about Google Maps or iMaps or even the sat nav in your car. Have any of you typed in an address and you started following it and then you made a wrong turn and sat nav started yelling at you? Make a left at the next possible corner. And you're like, I want to see that. I don't want to make a left at the next possible. Now make a right. Rerouting, 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 right? And what's the map doing? What's this thing doing? It's trying to get you back on track. It's trying to get you back going where you're supposed to be going. Get you to your destination like it thinks you should do. The way that you should go. Oh, I got so mad at the sat nav in my car. We made this trip down to my brother's on Thanksgiving. We went into Louisville. We got off on an exit and I saw a whole amusement park. Amusement parks and roller coasters get my attention every time. And I'm like, what's that? I didn't know there was an amusement park in Louisville. And so I want to go see the amusement park. The whole time, my stupid new car is yelling at me, turn here, turn here. I'm like, no, I want to see this, you know. Oh, it started driving me nuts a little bit. That is Proverbs chapter 3. That's the verse that we just memorized. God has a plan for us. And we make our plans. Hopefully our plans are lining up with God's plans. And every time we start to get off course, God's app God's map app begins to recalculate, begins to pull us back on track, begins to tell us how to get our lives centered back on him and back on his plans. Because God knows he's bigger than us. He does not die. His plans will not end in death. And God knows this is the best thing for you. And if you follow my plan, things will turn out for my glory first, but it'll also turn out for your good. You'll inherit a wonderful land. I want to invite all of you along for the journey that our church is going to take over this next year. Do I have it all figured out? Does the visioneering team have it all figured out? No. Does the board have it all figured out? But we're going to make plans. We're going to plan to use the ark, not just let it set there and we built it, y'all come. No, we want to find ways to creatively use that. We're going to make plans. But we want our plans to be God's plans. And if we start to move a little this way or a little that way, you know what? We're going to be okay when God says, hey, correcting, rerouting, I want to bring you back on track. And I hope as we move through 2019 that we will all listen to God's map app. That will listen to where he wants to take us and what he's wanting to do in our lives. I want to invite you back for the next couple Sundays. We're going to be talking about this through January and part of February, God's map app. And we're just going to be taking a look at where are we as a church going and where should our lives, each of our lives, we're going to be taking a look at what does this God's plan look like, maybe as opposed to our plans. So we're just going to study and lean into this a little bit. The new church of Acts had to give way to God's plans over their plans. And I tell you what, God did some amazing things through this new church in the book of Acts. So I'd invite you to come back and enjoy with us and worship with us as we talk about God's map, where is he taking us? Dear Father, thank you for a chance to worship you this morning. A chance to come into this place and just learn and hear from you. And I pray over these next couple weeks as we look into Scripture and look into planning and how to lay out our lives and how to be okay when you shift things for us. As we learn some of these truths and we learn about more about you, I pray that we will bring glory to your name and that we will lean into the truth that you will work all things out for our good and your glory. Father, help us to plan not just in our own human understanding, but help us to plan with not just one eye, but both eyes on the cross, on you. Help us to make our plans around what we believe you would want us to do with our lives. And Father, I pray that as we walk along, you will more and more and more make our paths straight. Even though it may be tough at times, even though there may be some valleys, some bumps along the way, some obstacles, God, make our plans straight so that we may glorify you at the end of our lives. Thank you, God, for these truths, these words. You put them in my heart. It's not me. Thank you that you gave me these to share this morning because they even speak to me. Father, now help me to live them out. In your name we pray. Amen.